Elizabeth Elliot says, "I realize that I don't spend nearly enough time praising God. I think hymns are a wonderful help. So let me just make that tiny suggestion that you begin your day with thanking the Lord." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor, Keep a Quiet Heart, and Discipline the Glad Surrender. Helping you face your journey with joy today, here's your friend, Elizabeth.
His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I want to put in a plug for hymns. I talk about this often, and my husband and I, of course, travel around and are in very many churches, few of which really know any of the old hymns. We get invited to many churches where they don't even have hymn books. All they have is the overhead. And even when it is a church where a few hymns get sung, it doesn't seem as though very many people know them anymore. That was one of the great blessings and privileges of growing up in the home in which I did, because my father herded us all into the living room every morning after breakfast, and we always sang a hymn. Both my parents played the piano, so one or the other would sit down at the piano, and we would go straight through a hymn book, and we sang every stanza, one hymn per day, all the stanzas. And that's been priceless heritage, because all six of us know probably hundreds of hymns by heart. And we just consider that a very great gift that our parents gave us. Now, you can do that in your home, even if you don't have a piano. You can teach your children to sing. And children, again, I emphasize how miraculously children can memorize. They can not only learn a language very quickly, but they can memorize very, very easily. As you know, if you have a television, they can pick up the commercials without any problem at all. So if they're going to stuff their heads with a lot of junk, you might as well stuff them with something highly worthwhile, including, of course, the memorization of Scripture. But one of the hymns that is so much more meaty theologically than so many of the, well, many of what are called praise songs, I have nothing against them, please don't misunderstand me, but many of them are very, very thin theologically. And the really meaty ones, the old hymns of the church, are the ones that mean the most to us in the deepest waters and the hottest fires. One of our favorite hymns as a family was "How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled?" And the next two verses are taken directly from Isaiah 43. "When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy trials to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply," etc. But one of the great hymns that I wanted to mention is that great hymn by William Cooper, "God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps," where? "In the sea, and rides upon the storm." Have you ever seen any footsteps in the sea? "He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm." And then there's a stanza that says, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and will break in blessing on your head. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower." The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And the older we get, the more we realize the truth of that, because the more experiences we have to look back on, experiences which we just dreaded and hated when they happened and just couldn't imagine what God was doing and how this could ever do us any good spiritually, we look back and realize that the bud did have indeed a bitter taste, but sweet has been the flower. And I think of all the ways of God in my own life, one of the blessings of keeping a journal is that you can go back and read things that you have completely forgotten. I've been keeping journals just about 60 years. So I can go back and look in those journals and realize that if somebody asked me if this thing or that thing ever happened, I would say no, and I wouldn't be lying because I had completely forgotten it. It's a chronicle of the faithfulness of God. And I love going back to a simple little hymn, like His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. We need the very simplest reminders at times, don't we? We don't just need profound theological truths, but we need very, very simple little things that God in His mercy reminds us of. I remind you again of His word, "Are not many sparrows sold for a farthing?" Now, when the sparrow gets sold, of course, the sparrow has been caught, which has been painful for the sparrow. The sparrow is probably jammed into a cage full of other sparrows. I've been in an Arab market where they were still being sold, and they're treated very cruelly. And of course, when they are bought, then of course, either they're kept in another cage or they're eaten. Very often, they're just eaten. And we wonder what in the world kind of meat you could get off of a sparrow. And I think back to my days in the jungle when my daughter had a little friend who was very good with a blowgun. He was only 10 years old, but he was a crack shot with that blowgun. And he would come back with the tiniest birds, as small as hummingbirds sometimes, beautiful iridescent colors, just lovely little creatures. Of course, they were all dead by the time he brought them back, and he would string them on the string around his waist. This was a little Alka boy, and the only piece of clothing that they wore was a piece of string, so they had no pockets. But he would hang them by their necks inside this little string around his hips. And of course, when I got to the point where I could ask questions, as foreigners do, I wanted to know why the Indians wore that string. It was the standard regulation costume of everybody, men and women and children. And of course, they looked at me with utter shock, and they said, "Well, you wouldn't expect us to go around naked, would you?" But the sparrows fall, and the sparrows get sold, and the sparrows get eaten, and the sparrows have lice. So there's all sides to this life, aren't there? There are wonderful things, thrilling things, unexpected things, hoped-for things, and there are very unexpected things and things which we never in the world would have chosen. And all of them are a part of God's sovereign sanctifying work in us. And I want to give you, for your memorization, a commitment. I don't know the author of this, and maybe someone does. If you do, I'd be glad to hear who it is. But this is a very sobering kind of commitment to make to God, and it's one that helps me again and again. "I'm willing to receive what you send, to do without what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer anything you inflict, to do what you command, to be what you ask me to be, at any cost, now and forever." We have a loving Heavenly Father who loves us with an everlasting love. And we know that there's never a time when those arms are not underneath us, whether we feel them, whether we sense His presence or not. And there may be someone here who lost something this week, or someone. Why does God allow us to lose things? I don't know anything more irritating to my very organized soul than losing something, because I am so proud, I guess I have to admit, of being organized. I know where things are. In our house, we have a place for everything. But then every once in a while, my pen, for example, is not in its place. And I have a pen holder right on my desk, so of course that's where the pen belongs, and it's not always there. And I can just get frantic, turning everything upside down and emptying all the waste baskets and doing everything possible to try to find that thing. And the Lord very often has to remind me, I'm not perfect. I do make mistakes. I do lose things. And sometimes he disciplines me about my attitude in losing something by saying to me, you don't need that pen right now. You had already turned on your computer. Now you sit yourself down to that computer and you do what you were going to do this morning and forget about the pen. And you know what happens? It's amazing, but this has happened again and again. When I get all upset about something that I think must be done right now, the Lord says, no, that is not the thing that must be done right now. The next thing is what you had already determined to do when you noticed that the pen was gone. Do the next thing, and then maybe I'll show you where the pen is. And you know he's done that. That has happened. I'm telling you the truth. I spend 2 hours on the computer, and when I stop, suddenly the one place I haven't looked comes into my mind, and God gives it to me back. Now, maybe someone here has lost something much more precious and irreplaceable than a pen. Can you receive that as from the Lord? Can you pray that prayer that I just dictated to you? I am willing to relinquish what you take. Perhaps there's someone who has suffered a very hard setback, maybe in business, in your finances, in a project that you were embarked on. What is your attitude? You know, God has given us a will, and he has given us emotions. And it is our emotions that give us the worst trouble, because we get all uptight and all upset about something that we had to suffer, the setback, whatever it is. And the Lord is reminding us that he is totally in control. He allowed that thing to happen. To suffer anything you inflict, to be what you ask me to be at any cost, now and forever.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.